And he said, Young man, I say to thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. There is a beautiful legend about a certain priest. I believe he was also a monk, who was known for his great patience and compassion, his great mercy too, in the administration of the sacrament of penance. And because of this, penitents flocked from all over in order to receive from him absolution and perhaps too some little spiritual fervorino, spiritual advice. But eventually, after some time, this holy priest died. Of course, he was buried. And it says that out of love and devotion, all of those that flocked to his confessional in life now flocked to his tomb in death. And it is said, too, in this legend, that every night this holy priest of God would rise from his tomb and walk slowly into the church and take his seat in the confessional and continue his great work of absolving sinners of their sins. A legend, you say. Think what you want about this story that I just told you. There is really one which is true that is just like it. Our Lord, when he was on earth, he spent at least the last 3 years walking about, showing his mercy and his patience and his compassion towards those who needed it. He healed the sick, he raised the dead from their grave, and he forgave sins. Well, of course, our Lord, after many people flocked to him for mercy and life, he too died, and he too was buried. And he, too, rose from the dead, and daily he walks slowly back into the little confessional, but you will not see him going in his physical person. No, you see him through the eyes of faith, walking to the confessional in the person of the priest. And through the priest, he daily absolves your sins and my sins, and everyone who goes and makes a good confession. Truly, this is no legend. This is true, and this is of our faith. It is very true that through the priest in the confessional, our Lord raises not bodies from the dead, but he raises souls from the dead. Just as in today's gospel, he raised the widow's son from his tomb. In the confessional, a greater work is done than was done in the creation of the world. In the confessional, by the forgiveness of sins, a greater work is done than was done in today's gospel, when our Lord raised the man's body to life. Just a moment ago, think of it, when a soul was in mortal sin, now he walks out, no longer dead to God, no longer dead to grace, but now risen from his tomb, from his spiritual tomb, and now he truly lives. All of our sins, no matter how great, no matter how numerous, no matter how humiliating they be, they're not just snow-covered like Martin Luther would have us believe, but they're completely washed away. What was there before we set foot in the confessional is now gone when we set foot out of the confessional. Where once mortal sin was, now sanctifying grace is. When at one time, just moments ago, the gates of heaven were shut and we became rather heirs to the kingdom of Satan, now the gates of heaven are opened, and we are once more made heirs to the kingdom of God. For those who are in sanctifying grace before they go to confession, they only have some past sin to confess or venial sins to tell, well, their place in heaven is raised for all eternity. They are guaranteed, they are given a higher place for all eternity. Special graces called sacramental graces, which are given to help us overcome sin, they are given to us as well. And the angels too, the angels in heaven rejoice. For it says in one of the Gospels, the angels rejoice more at the conversion of one sinner than at the perseverance of 99 just who need not penance. And all of that and much more takes place right back there in that little confessional that we're all a little bit nervous to enter into. All of that truly happens. A couple of weeks ago, the priest read in the Mass a gospel of the 10 lepers. Now, leprosy has always been a symbol of sin. Now, when these lepers approached our Lord, they did so with confidence that they would be healed, for on a previous occasion he had healed one leper. But this time, when they approach him for a healing, our Lord doesn't say what he did previously, volo mundare, I will it, be thou made clean. No, this time, what does he say? He says, go and show yourselves to the priest. And they did just that. They were healed of their leprosy. Now, when we commit sin, our soul, rather than our body, contracts a sort of spiritual leprosy. And the soul, which once was so beautiful, has now become hideous in God's sight, and now is rotting away slowly but surely, just as the body of a leper rots away slowly but surely too. And then often after we commit sin, we hear this quiet but rebuking voice say, is it our guardian angel, perhaps? And it says, go show yourself to the priest. Well, maybe not in those exact words, but in any case, what does it mean? It means show yourself to the priest. Reveal your sins, the state of your soul, no matter how terrible it might be, no matter how embarrassing, show yourself to the priest as you truly are at that moment. Now, just as there's a good angel always at one side whispering into your ear, go and show yourself to the priest and make a good confession, well, there's always that other angel, not a good one by any means, rather a fallen angel, who's always prowling about, seeking some soul to snatch away from God. And many souls are devoured in this time, just before and during confession. There's a story of that St. Antoninus once told, it's a true story, where he walked into the church and a penitent was preparing himself for confession. He noticed hovering about him a devil. He asked the devil, what are you doing here? Well, the devil said, I'm making restitution. And St. Antoninus was a bit surprised at that and basically gave his little whatever, restitution indeed. And the devil said, yes, I am giving my restitution. When I caused this man to sin, I took away his shame, and he sinned. But when it's a mean matter of going to confession now, I return all of his shame, so that now he will be too afraid to confess it. And this happens every single time that someone goes to confession. You have that little demon to overcome that tells you, hold one sin back. It's a bit too embarrassing. We have all this shame. I'm perhaps afraid of what the priest might think of me and all the rest. That little demon does all of that, and he devours a soul. St. Augustine once said to our Lord in a little prayer, he said, in failing to confess, O Lord, I would only hide you from myself, not myself from you. How true that is. We always think, or many times we're tempted to think as we approach the confessional with some humiliating sin or some grievous sin, well, I'm not going to confess it. Somehow I'll go in and I'll confess all my other sins. Oh, the priest won't know that I'm hiding a sin. He'll give me absolution anyway. And indeed he will. But that absolution will be invalid. And none of your sins will be washed away. But now you'll have, instead of your previous sins washed away, now you'll have one more mortal sin to confess the next time. The sin of sacrilege, a bad confession. No, we don't hide ourselves from God. He sees right down into the depths of our soul, the most secret and hidden sins. We only hide ourselves, or rather God, from ourselves. What do I mean by that? Well, God lives in the soul by means of sanctifying grace. When we lose Him by mortal sin, where is He? We lose God, and we hide Him from ourselves. And the longer we put off going to confession, and the more we hide sins, the more we hide God from our souls. Or then let's turn to a quote of Saint Jerome. He says of sinners, he says, out of 100,000 sinners who continue voluntarily in sin until death, scarcely one of them will be saved. You see here another temptation of the devil. He always tells us, well, let's put off our confessions as long as we can. God will give me another day. God will even, I'm sure, give me the grace at the last moment to make my good confession, and I'll set all things right. But remember what St. Jerome says. Out of those 100,000 sins who do that, who remain purposely in mortal sin, scarcely one will be saved. You're not guaranteed a place in heaven until the moment your soul leaves the body with sanctifying grace. We must then use all these graces, these inspirations to go to confession, act on them immediately if you wish to have the other graces later on. Now, a word to those of you who are perhaps a little bit more serious about your spiritual life. You too have a little devil, a fallen angel, who tries to wrestle you away from the confessional. You often have all of these temptations to say, well, my sins can't be forgiven, or my sins are too bad. They're too much. Or I'm perhaps not rightly disposed or something like that. Well, we might again hear that little voice. And is it your good angel who says, O ye of little faith? It's funny that although we learn in catechism God is perfect and that His in every perfection He is infinite, we somehow think that our sins are more infinite than His infinite mercy and that His mercy cannot forgive certain sins. But O ye of little faith, God is so infinite in mercy that there is no sin too great or too humiliating, or too terrible, that He cannot forgive it. I quote another author, Blosius is his name. He says, a sinner cannot outrage the deity more than by despairing of divine mercy on account of the number and enormity of his crimes, for God's clemency is far greater than the iniquity and guilt of an entire world. And he continues, of God's mercy, never despair. And I leave you finally with this thought. There is no greater proof of God's mercy, no greater proof of God's willingness to forgive even the worst sinner than the fact that He instituted and commanded the sacrament of penance. There is no greater proof of His willingness to forgive. And let us then make good use of the sacrament of penance. Never listen to that bad angel who's always telling you to put it off. Listen to the good angel who says, go and show yourselves to the priest. And then that which took place in today's gospel, when our Lord rose the body from the dead, will take place for you too, in a spiritual way. And your soul will be raised again from its spiritual tomb. And then remember those last words that the priest usually tells you before you leave the confessional? Your sins are forgiven. Go in peace. Those aren't just words to be passed over. Not by any means are they to be passed over or regarded lightly. They are true, and the priest means them. Ego te absolvo. I absolve you of your sins. Go now in peace. They are forgiven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.